and knowing is half the battle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an American edition. Are you feeling American right now?
I'm feeling so American, I might rip my shirt and then rip my skin off, too.
And underneath it, there's just an American flag.
God.
Because he breathes. God, I love this country.
There's a scene in this movie where he's beating the fuck out of... Sergeant Slaughter's beating the fuck out of this guy. He's like, this is for America. I'm like, yeah!
Yes! This is an American edition. A Yo Joe edition. animated edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
G.I. Joe, the codename for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Their purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world. Oh.
It's so beautiful.
I'm Gus.
All right, that's Gus over there, and we are the Brothers Movie Factory. On this podcast of the movies, by the movies, for the movies, I would say that we are occasionally known as...
The movies.
And we watched... We're the podcast formerly known as...
We watched a movie, which its subtitle is The Movie.
Ah, it is. It is. So we watched the movie this week, but on this podcast, just to give you feels for what we do here, every week we watch a movie. We then discuss that movie, talk about the plot, talk about what makes it good, what makes it bad, what we love about it, and what we hate about it. We then submit that movie to the factory. That is where we take the movie we just watched, and we pretend as if it were coming out today, who would star in it, who would direct it, who would compose it, etc. We pretend as if that movie, no remake, no nothing, same thing, just what would it look like if it came out today? Who would star? Who would be the primary cast? We then just...
Enact.
Yeah, enact. And then at the end, we have a little question-y time to ask a question here or there, and... So, with that being said, like I said, this week is a G.I. Joe-erific episode of the Brothers Movie Factory.
G.I. Joe the movie.
Watch G.I. Joe the movie, not Rise of Cobra. No, this is a Channing Tatum-less episode.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Question mark.
Depends. Depends. What Channing Tatum are we getting? Are we getting Channing Tatum from Rise of Cobra, or are we getting him from a good movie?
Ah, I see. Well, we are getting the 1987 G.I. Joe the movie that not many people really know exists unless you're a deep fan.
Unless you're a deep thinker.
Unless you're a deep
patriot. Unless you want to ponder, Unless you want to ponder this.
In the history books, it will read George Washington sailing across, what river is it?
The Delaware?
The Delaware. George Washington.
With a copy of G.I. Joe the movie.
George Washington seeing.
Because he was a time traveler.
The play. What play was he saying?
That was Abraham Lincoln.
That's what I said.
You said George Washington.
I said him first, and I was like, and then Abraham
Lincoln.
You
said Abraham Lincoln. J.J. Abrams.
Sitting at the play, holding a playbill which said, G.I. Joe the movie. Yeah. You will see George Bush saying, we got him, holding a copy of G.I. Joe the movie. History. Beckons the G.I. Joe movie.
Okay.
I got Macho Man chills.
Oh, yeah,
dig it. That's a new...
Only thing that make it better is if the Macho Man was in this film,
Macho Man is Globulus, the villain of the movie.
He just sprinkled those spores all over, because the cream rises to the top. Yeah.
What if he... Instead of, like, he had that, like, time stick, remember? It was like,
yeah, this time worm.
The time worm is like a stick with a worm coiling up. Once the worm reaches the top, it will take over the earth. What if it was just a Slim Jim?
What if it was the worm from Labyrinth?
Ah, just a worm. Come inside, meet the fucking missus. Get my fucking house!
Right. G.I. Joe the movie, animated, second animated movie we've done here on...
What was the first?
First one was Whisper of the Heart for Valentine's Day. That was a Japanese animated film. So we're taking on an American American, full-blooded. I mean, this movie really, you can't almost can't get as American as this movie. There's a scene where, like, a main character's dying. He's like, his last words are like, "Be a patriot to this country, yo, Joe." You're like, God damn it.
God damn it, I'm American.
Yeah. You look down and you were wearing a polo and now you're just wearing an American flag.
You're just bare ass naked with a American pamper.
And you got a lot of American tattoos, a bald eagle on your nuts.
I love this fucking country. Do it on my nuts. shit.
Want to show them America's got balls. All right. Well,
here it is. So here noises. We are. So G.I. Joe the movie. Why did we come across this movie for this one? I'll tell you why. It was my pick this week.
And you wanted to watch it.
I just wanted to feel like a fucking American. In a time where we need that a little bit more in our lives here.
That was like the first thing I said. We were watching this. I'm like, this is how you bring together the country. Yeah. You just have them watch this.
In a country so divided, you just got to play this opening scene.
Everyone just watch the opening scene of G.I. Joe the movie.
You're like, oh, I understand.
Yeah. You're like, oh, we can work together.
But yeah, a couple weeks ago we watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie.
Yep.
And I don't know why it immediately sparked a nostalgia flow in me, and I wanted to watch G.I. Joe, the animated movie. Now, not as easy to come by unless you buy it online or something like that. We own it on the old VHS, but not available to us at the moment. So I went on an adventure poo. I was like, I'm committed to watching this movie for our podcast this week.
I mean, you also just told me we were watching it this week. I thought you had it. You're like, we're watching G.I. Joe, and then, like, last night, you're like, I found it on the internet. I'm like, okay.
Just found it on the internet on, like, a streaming thing. I was like, fuck that. I gotta find it physical, and I went on an adventure. Three stores found
it
eventually.
Is it true that you ran out the house going, I'm going on an adventure?
I went out of the house, and I said,
get your jetpack on.
I said, yo, Joe! And I said, I will find this movie, or I'll end up in a ditty bag. An itty, bitty, ditty bag. That's a line from the movie.
Yeah, but then you went to your car, and someone had stolen it, and you're like, you expect me to walk? You're like, no, run!
If you want to make it in time for breakfast. This movie.
You watch it, you get hair in your chest.
Yeah, you
want to be a Marine? Movie, and you're pretty ripped, I tell you. I'm in good shape. I'm in better shape now after watching the movie. I can tell you that much.
I threw some. It's insider known fact. When I get a little too excited, I shed clothing, and I threw a hat.
You did throw a hat.
I was so hyped up.
I like got confused because I was like watching it, and all of a sudden I saw something fly across. I'm like, what happened?
I was so hyped up. I'm like, yes,
do it.
He threw a man to death.
He did throw a man to death. A man that had wings and could fly, he made him fall to his death by throwing him.
He gave up. Yeah. America like, made him
America up. Made him give up. Yeah, this movie, if you're familiar with like the G.I. Joe animated series, it would definitely probably be more enjoyable and make a lot more sense. And I'm sure some of it – I'm sure this movie's garbage. Some of it.
Impossible.
But we're like also just so nostalgic about it. When was the first time we watched this movie? I know it was at our grandmother's.
No, it wasn't. Really? We used to rent this all the time from a little video store. We grew up in the middle of the woods, and there was a video rental store about 10 miles that away.
10 miles out in that.
And G.I. Joe the movie was there. We'd rent that a lot. But ultimately, we bought it. Just a little history on G.I. Joe in general. Hasbro put out some 12-inch rubber action figures, some Kung Fu Grip came super popular. However, when Star Wars came out, a big popular item with Star Wars was those little toys, those like 3.5-inch figures.
Ones. Yeah. More collectible.
More collectible, more marketable. So Hasbro put out G.I. Joe action figures that were the same size. And the year after putting those out, they started making them like posable, like bendable elbows and waists and things like that. Little
good
intricate
for wrestling toys.
And little intricate guns and things like that. And through that, through the toy sales, they made comic books. Marvel actually put out G.I. Joe comic books. And just the vast popularity of these toys and comics, over 500 toys in like the 80s came out.
The G.I.C.U.? The G.I. I guess it'd be the G.I.J.C.U., the G.I. Joe Cinematic Universe. Can we
do
that? Can we make that happen?
Hard as yeah. I'm more erect than the Washington Monument.
Got it.
So, yeah, through that popularity, they put out the animated series in 1982. It ran from 1982 to 1993 or 6.
I'll go with it.
One of them.
Super popular. I know they brought it back when I was young.
Yeah, they brought it back. Sigma 6.
Yeah, Sigma 6. I had some of those toys.
I know some of these words.
I had a lot of G.I. Joe toys. You did, too.
Oh, yeah.
I used to, like I said, I'm sure a lot of people listening have had at least an encounter with a G.I. Joe toy at one point in their life. Actually, I'll give you a chance to tell a story of a G.I. Joe tale. I'm sure you have one or something.
I have a few.
I can think of two. One was that G.I. Joes were probably one of my most played with toys growing up. And it wasn't even that necessarily. I don't think it was even that I used them for like war or anything like that. I honestly think I used them mostly for wrestling figures. I had characters. I was even talking with you tonight about it. Like Shipwreck was like my champion consistently. He had a power bomb. Sit down power bomb was his finisher.
Oh yeah.
And Beachhead, his was an RKO.
Out of nowhere?
Yeah, out of nowhere. Out of beach. I remember playing with them that way a lot consistently as wrestling figures. But an important memory in my life that I can think of is I have friends that I call, you know, they're my longest friend. I knew them since I was babies. But my first ever, like, friend that I actively remember, like, meeting and having something in common with them and, you know, playing with them was in my first day of preschool. I brought one of my G.I. Joes to school, and I walked in the preschool, and he's been one of my best friends ever since. But I walked in, and there was this kid, I'm not going to say his name. Sitting there at the table, he was playing with G.I. Joe too. I'm like, I got G.I. Joes, you got G.I. Joes.
Let's fuck.
Let the game begin. And we started playing with G.I. Joes. We've been friends ever since. So
what G.I. Joe was it? Do you remember?
I think if I recall, it was like, you remember we had like the really, really old ones.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those ones. Cause I remember he had newer ones. And
was
mine
was he,
really
I'm thinking. I just remember this one in particular. Did he have a black shirt, khaki pants, and like a yellow belt across?
And the blonde hair.
Yeah.
I think it might have been. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, like you could like pull his legs, and there was like little rubber bands inside so holding his legs in.
I think that was a Duke. I could be wrong. Maybe I just want to say it was Duke, but it probably wasn't. It was probably like Bill.
Yeah. Bill over there.
Oh, Bill and that. He's just coming in thinking he owns the place, but he doesn't know nothing. He's 4 irons deep, and he's trying to lead G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 irons. Iron Siberians.
Yeah. 4 irons deep. Bill, yeah, he's from Pittsburgh.
Bill, the Pittsburgh G.I. Joe.
Bill Belichick, Pittsburgh. G.I. Joe.
G.I. G's.
Oh, jeez. G.I. Joe.
Yo, G's. We're fighting the evil terrorist organization, the Jagoffs.
The Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good memory pool. Yeah, G.I. Joe for me, big fan all my life, especially the animated show. Grew up with this movie that we watched tonight. Love the toys, read some of the comics, but...
had your own comics.
Yes. This is the tale I'm getting into here. Might as well get it out of the way. So
be as explicit. No, be be as censored as you can.
All right. So I, in my youth, and I'm talking like 8 years old, 9, 10, 11, 12. I went to Catholic school. However, I used to draw my own comic books, and I did a parody of G.I. Joe. I called them the Rejected G.I. Joes, and it was more in the vein of like a South Park or something like that. It was a parody, but it was very vulgar, very X-rated. I'm talking language, sex, nudity.
These are like stick figures.
Stick figures, but then they had tits.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I look back, and I'm like, what is wrong with me? And funny enough, talk for a second.
I have it here somewhere. I mean, oh, God. I remember finding this for the first time and being like, you know this is in here, right? And you're like, yeah, don't. Or I was searching. I remember searching through, like, trying to find something to draw in, like a sketchbook. And I remember finding this one. And I was asking you, and you're like, don't show Mom that one.
Yeah. All right. Let me find it. I found it. I made a movie. My God. I called it Rejected G.I. Joe's the Movie. It was a 50-page comic book.
Oh, boy. You can probably publish that now.
I'll probably go. Let's see. Here's a speech bubble. So, main character, his name is Boss. His girlfriend, Lady Man, was just killed.
Lady Man.
Lady Man. I was ahead of my time. And died, and he gets so upset, he's cursing at the villains. And giant speech bubble. He says, let's see here. I'm gonna fuck those fucking fuckers up so fucking bad they'll fucking feel like they fucking been fucked by a fucking fucker who fucks a fucker while they're shoving a fucking bullet up their fucking nose and down their fucking throat, through their fucking lungs, through their fucking intestines, and through a fucking two-way out the fucking dick and ass. Fuck them, fuck what they stand for, fuck those, their souls, those poop heads.
You hear that, Dad? Ninth grade.
Yeah, probably earlier than that. Probably in eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Hear that, Dad and Mom?
At Catholic school. Yep. He was.
This
is
what Catholic school does.
So, yeah, this little stick man is talking like that. So he was upset that his girlfriend Lady Man died.
He got it. He got me.
He got me. So I think that's the most we've sweared on this podcast. So
probably.
It was literature, so it gets passed.
Yeah, yeah. You can publish that. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I showed that to roommate Matt. He looked at it, took it. He's like, "Huh, I'm gonna, you know, publish this." He's like, "It's a good idea.
It's not bad."
I showed him some scenes. He thought they were really funny. He's like, "I'm gonna, yeah, publish this." So.
Yeah. I think that, like, that's rings true for probably a lot of people, that at some point in your lives you have either had an encounter or something of that sort with a G.I. Joe.
It's one of the most popular toy lines of all time.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, even my fiance, I was telling her that we were going to be watching this tonight, and she was like, she was like, my brother used to have a bunch of those, and he would never let me play with them because they were his. And I was like, yeah, see, like, anyone has had some form of experience with G.I. Joes or a figure like them. I mean, I had off-brand G.I. Joes called Army Corps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They were a tag team. But yeah. I didn't know that it was pronounced Corps in my young age, so I called them the Corps.
The Corps.
They were the Corps. I thought they were undead.
Yeah. I remember those well as well. I used to wrestle with them too.
Hey. This, I feel like if you enjoy, like, G.I. Joe's to a sense, but also this movie doesn't really do me many favors, like, setting up the plot. It just kind of drops you right into, like, the universe of G.I. Joe. It's like, here you go.
It's almost like.
You ready to see some people turn into snakes?
I think they took the movie and made it in like a 3-part episode.
Okay.
Back in the day, because yes, this is G.I. Joe the Movie, came out in 1987. Hasbro and Toei Animation, they put this movie together. I believe they put together 3 movies: My Little Pony, Transformers the Movie, G.I. Joe the Movie. I just going off of memory, G.I. Joe the Movie was finished first, put out last. Why? Question mark. We don't know. My Little Pony came out, didn't do so hot in the box office. Transformers came out, didn't get a lot of money in the box office. Has reached cult status, that film. And then they just were like, no, we're not putting out G.I. Joe. It could kill us, blah, blah, blah. But it should have, because this movie's fucking amazing.
Because it's American.
Because it's man. What happened? Something happened. You're just like, man.
I don't know. Probably something with Sergeant Slaughter.
It was. He just showed up.
Yeah.
No, actually, he showed up. We're just like, oh, yeah.
This film, it does just kind of drop you right into it, even to the point where I was like, I don't remember Serpentor, the bad guy, the main bad guy, really, the leader of Cobra, the terrorist organization. The main bad guys. I was like, I don't remember him being the bad guy. And a lot of people, I feel like Cobra Commander is a name that, like, someone who doesn't really know G.I. Joe's probably, like, know Cobra Commander or have heard of him. He's, like, pop culture reference. But, like, I don't know about old Sepentor.
You don't remember him too
well?
Well,
no, I remembered him. I just didn't remember. I thought this, for whatever reason in my head, I was like, this is the movie they make Sepentor.
You must, yeah. They're, when we used to own some VHSs of G.I. Joe, the animated show. Really,
I was a little
hero.
Mixed up watching this movie a couple times. I was like, what?
yeah, there's like a two-part episode or something where they create Serpentor, yeah. Rise Serpentor. But before that, Cobra Commander is the main leader.
Yar, Lierte.
Lierte Andera.
Okay. but yeah, no, they drop you right into it and just kind of say, like, Cobra Commander had another failure.
He's a world-class buffoon.
Yeah. And his team is basically turning against him. All these people, you know,
You got Destro. You got Baroness. You got Dr. Mindbender. You got them two twin fucks over
and
there.
And their rejected G.I. Joes, was his name Dr. Mindfucker?
No, it was Dr. Mind Twister.
Ah.
Dr.
Clever.
Dr. Mind Twister was a parody of Dr. Mindbender. Destro O was
smart.
Yeah, well, it gets better. Cobra Commander was Cobra Dude.
Okay.
And Baroness was some lady. That was her name.
Okay.
Some lady.
Right. Publish it. Look, this is good.
Clever.
Yeah, they're just kind of turning against Cobra Commander, and they're gonna basically get him out of there. And that, and Sepentor will realize that someone's broken into the base, and so Cobra Commander sees an opportunity. He's gonna lead them away from this intruder in hopes that the intruder will kill Sepentor. But meanwhile, this intruder is actually one of the creators of Sepentor. Gets in there and basically gives Sepentor an idea to attack the Joes to gain the BET. This device, the Joes,
broadcast energy transmitter.
Yeah, the G.I. Joes have come up with this idea to make a machine that pushes power through the air. It's like unlimited power through. It doesn't really make sense. It's like a machine.
It's this movie.
Yeah, it's a machine that basically like puts electricity into the air, so like your instruments will just run on their own. Like, you don't need to plug them in. The power is in the air.
Infinite energy. Yeah.
Yeah, the energy is just there. It's there.
Air! Yes. Good summary, because that's pretty much, from there, that's all the more plot details you really need. Bad guys want this BET. Joes are creating it for the good of mankind. Cobra is wanting it for evil intentions.
Yes, and you find out, they attack. Cobra attacks this BET, and they're trying to steal it from him, and they're losing. And Cobra Commander tells everyone to retreat, but Sepentor, he gets knocked out in the midst of battle, and they have to leave him behind. But Cobra Commander takes him to this place in the Himalayas, I believe. They're in, like, the Himalayan mountains.
It's like, I know where we can seek refuge! To the trees! Yeah.
And they go to Cobra Law.
Oh, yeah.
This hidden facility. Basically like Wakanda, but all the Wakandans are snakes. That's like basically what this is.
It's like Wakanda if it was directed, or if it was like created by David Cronenberg. Like the most bizarre shit you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like H.R. Giger shit.
To the web of memories.
Like everything's alive.
Yeah.
All the buildings are moving. It's like, everything's organic, like a creature.
Ever seen Nazca in the Valley of the Wind?
Yeah, it's like kind of like that.
It's like that forest.
Yeah, like tentacles and like just serpent creatures and bugs and
guns that shoot sperm that turns into tentacles.
Like the cum guns.
But
then you're like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Makes sense. But yeah, so the Joes, a small crew of them, featuring like Snake Eyes and Roadblock. Roadblock's really the important one that goes with them. Even though Snake Eyes is my favorite, and they do them dirty in this movie.
They do them dirty. They
get caught. They get caught chasing after Cobra in this new place, Cobra Law, and they get put in the prison, and then they escape very briefly, and I was like, Snake Eyes has his katanas? He's had his his katanas this whole time? He's been chilling.
What did you say? He's like, maybe he just didn't see him because he's blind. Yeah. He's like, oh, I forgot. I didn't know I had these.
I forgot I had swords. Wasn't until they made me put my hands up, I felt it.
Snake Eyes is one of the more popular of the G.I. Joe characters.
He's a badass.
He's a badass ninja. Duke, who's also like the leader of the G.I. Joes, not too featured in this film, a little bit.
He's related to his half-brother.
Yeah, the half-brother, Lieutenant Falcon, he's the real main character of this movie, and Duke is used to kind of build him up, give him a little bit more of a character arc, and put Lieutenant Falcon like in the growth. Like, he starts out like as a low life, and he works his way up to being
a lady
hero.
Man.
Yeah.
He's a lady man, screw up. Dig it.
Lay off. Lay off, Duke.
What's he doing?
I don't need your help.
This movie is a product of its time. It's a cartoon. Cartoon for kids. One of Falcon's first things is he walks up to one of the female members of the G.I. Joes, spanks her on the butt, and then says, "Want me to kiss it and make it better?" It's a product of its time. That's just for kids. That's not right.
Yes, indeed.
But it happened. I was like, did that happen?
That woman just didn't give a fuck.
No, she didn't. She didn't care. I was like, that is not, that's no, 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 we don't do, no.
I think she kicked his ass a little bit.
I think she did kick his ass later, yeah.
But yeah, so that's Duke's half-brother, really the true main character. And that's a good example. He does shit like that, but by the end, he's the hero we all need.
He's American, damn it.
Yes. And who else are some main G.I. Joes? You got Beachhead, mm-hmm. who's like training the raw
hides. I remember thinking
the new
like
guys.
Because of this movie, I thought Beachhead was like a big deal, and then I found out that he's like not that big of a deal.
He's more like comic relief, I guess. Yeah, he's like the hard ass, laughable bullshitter.
Sergeant Slaughter is probably Sergeant Slaughter. He's played by Sergeant Slaughter, the WWE wrestler.
Yes, indeed. He's my favorite G.I. Joe of all time.
I mean, he's badass.
He's badass.
He should be the leader, but he prefers to train and somewhat kill people.
Real big G.I. Joe facts. He's known as the strongest of the G.I. Joes.
Well, he did throw a man that had wings.
Threw him so hard he couldn't fly to his death. Yeah. This is for America!
And that guy's name was... What?
Nemesis Enforcer. Hard.
He suplexed his name to death.
That's how strong he is.
Yeah. Well, there's Hawk.
General Hawk.
General Hawk is bigger.
The true leader of the G.I. Joes.
But he's really not in this very much either. Nah. Flint. Flint's a bigger one. Scarlet?
Scarlet.
She's not very... A lot of the G.I. Joes don't... Like, they give way to a lot of, like... And you even said this. You were like, they made a lot of these characters to sell toys. I feel like this movie was made to sell toys.
It was.
Most of the characters that are, like, get the most screen time are new.
New, yeah. So it's like, you've seen these other guys in the cartoon. Here's some new ones. We're going to feature them, so you want to buy their toys.
Yeah.
Scarlet as a character is the romantic interest of Duke.
Yeah.
Also,
in this.
Also one of the first like G.I. Joes to be made into an action figure, to represent the females out there. And then one of the other like big head honchos of G.I. Joes as a character is Flint. And his best gal is Lady Jane.
Yeah,
she's not in this movie at all.
She had the brown hair though.
She has short brown hair.
Yeah, she's in it, but she's one of the people in prison.
Right. Harley does anything.
Probably all had their guns. They just forgot.
We might as well not use them.
Yeah. We'll just wait for them to open the door.
And they do.
And they do. But then they're like, oh, we'll just wait for the tentacles to grab them.
We'll just wait for the third act and the script says we can get out.
Like, yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some popular Joes for you. But yeah, this movie really is focused on the new guys, the new group, the new batch, if you will, Gremlin style.
Yar, yar. They're basically in this new place, Cobra Law, while the other G.I. Joes have no clue what happened to that small crew that left, and then Cobra's there as well. And they basically determine that they need to get Sepentor out. They need to break Sepentor out of the Joe facility, so they go to break him out. And meanwhile, old Falcon, he's supposed to be protecting the place, but it was actually kind of neat scene. He's like explaining to Jinx, the female new recruit, that's kind of his love interest, I guess, that even if they did break in, they'd have to have a passcode to get in, and it shows the Cobra breaking the passcode, and he's like, and then this super hard plastic will get in their way, and it shows him cutting through that, and then he's like, and even if they were to get through that, and accomplish the impossible, they have to go through three of our toughest. And it shows them attacking those three. So it was kind of neat because it was like one of those dramatic irony kind of things where we were seeing something happen where the characters weren't. Yeah, and they are able to successfully extract Sepentor and get him out of there and then take him back. And the next scene, I think, is, well, Falcon gets put on court-martial, possibly. He's going to get kicked out of the Joes, but meanwhile, old...
He's like, he's my half-brother. Yeah. I vouch for him.
Duke's like, the Duke.
The Duke.
John Wayne walks up and says, I'm Big Bob Doyle.
Bob Doyle.
I don't know.
Who's that?
Big Bill Doyle. I don't know. I think it's one of his characters.
How about Rooster Cogburn?
Is it Sergeant Slaughter walked up and like, where's my snuff?
No, you said, where's his snuff? You're like, where is it? I know he's got it somewhere.
His sunglasses are made out of Copenhagen cans.
At ease, disease.
But, yeah, so Cobra Commander has been, he's like caught in this like clam goo. and that's not like an exaggeration.
He's in the gunk of
He's like in the gunk of a clam. And which could sound weird. And they basically decide, though it's basically revealed that Cobra Commander was a member of this basically snake-like people. They were like, there was the humans came, the humans dawned, and the snake-like species were kind of like pushed underground by the humans. Mm-hmm. And that Cobra Commander, it shows that he had an accident and basically formed multiple eyes on his face. So that's why he's worn this mask. Now, quick question.
Iconic.
Cobra Commander, iconic mask, the silver-plated front faceplate, and then he's got the like kind of Darth Vader-style helmet. Do you prefer that version, or do you prefer his clothed version?
I actually prefer his clothed version.
Oh, that's the toy? We had a toy in hood, like that. Yeah.
It has just the eye holes and the Cobra symbol. I prefer that. That is also in the animated show sometimes when he's like feeling more casual. He'll just wear the cloth.
Like, excuse me, let me drop into something more comfortable.
Yeah, but if
let
he's
me
going
explain
into,
the plot.
If he's going into battle, he'll put on the metal plate.
Yeah.
They did. I'm pretty sure they did that to make toys.
Good.
Like two different ones.
They're like, here we go. Yeah, now I think I prefer that one as well, the cloth one.
It's just cooler looking. I
even
think.
when they do finally show his face, like faceplate, like gets taken off, and Roadblock's looking at it, it's like there's no way he could have seen through it. It's like all mechanical bullshit. There was like
Darth
no visor.
Vader. No, yeah. There was no visor. It's just all like computer chips and stuff.
Yeah,
where's your faceplate, man?
Yeah, Cobra Commander basically revealed that he was like this Cobra law, this Cobra civilization had chosen him to basically go out and lead their armies and defeat these humans, but to no avail because he sucks at his job. Like, why didn't they have like that girl, the main girl from them that's been kicking ass
Pythona.
All? Yeah, like why didn't they have her do it, or why didn't they have Nemesis Enforcer do it? Like,
I know. Well, Nemesis Enforcer, he's just a brute.
He just goes...
That is accurate.
That's pretty much all he does throughout the entire movie.
That's good. Pythona, I don't know why. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
good question.
Cue.
Well, he was Cobra Commander was a scientist. He was a man of science. He was a nobleman of Cobra Law, and he was just chosen. He was the chosen one.
He had a lot of
eyes,
so like, I bet he can see
some
stuff.
You know, Anakin was the chosen one. Look how that turned out, too.
He defeated the Emperor.
It took a long time. Maybe Cobra Commander helped defeat Cobra Law.
Patience is a virtue.
How about?
But yes, so they decide that they need to punish old Cobra, and they hit him with the spores.
Give him the spores.
Like, not the bees.
Yeah.
But he says, not the spores.
Not the spores.
And
he
gets turned into a snake man.
Once a man.
A snake man buddy guy.
He is a buddy guy snake man guy. And, yeah, that's
they throw him in the prison.
That's his most iconic line ever. Once a man!
Yeah, and they...
Does that even sound like him?
Kinda.
Yeah. All right.
I think you need to smoke some Marlboros.
What?
I don't know.
Marlboros.
I think I had a stroke. I was like,
Marlboros.
Ear.
Some Newports.
Yeah, Newports.
Once a man!
but they... are going to throw them in with the Joes to show what they're dealing with. But when they open the door, the Joes make their escape. But Cobra's trying to save them. He's trying to help the G.I. Joes escape, and they're behind him. And he catches up to Roadblock just in time to warn Roadblock. But all the other Joes are captured by these tentacle things, and they're basically thrown back in jail. Roadblock and Cobra Commander have to escape. And, yeah, meanwhile, old Falcon is sent to rehab.
He's sent to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
We're going to make a Joe out of you yet, even if it kills you, Pilgrim.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they say.
Pretty much. And they send him to the slaughterhouse. They basically just kick him out of a helicopter. He's met by three goons, but then old Sergeant Slaughter wheels up. And he kicks some ass because he's the cream. What if it was Sergeant Slaughter and Macho Man?
The love child, yeah. At ease, disease, oh. Ooh, yeah, dig it. That would have been too intense.
The Macho Slaughterhouse.
They make Slim. That's why they make the Slim Jims.
Yeah, that's all they eat. They're like, too bad you didn't make it for breakfast. We had Slim Jims.
So they get so big and fucking strong and throw missiles with their bare hands.
Yeah, it is a fucking epic scene. The guy, there's a new recruit. He's supposed to shoot a missile launcher at this target, and the target's moving, and he misses, and the trainer's getting all pissed at him. So he gets out of the missile launcher, grabs the missile, runs into the battlefield, and throws it.
And then he hits his target.
Yeah, because he's a man.
Later he
spins the helicopter blades.
They can't get the helicopter going. He gets up on top and he just flings the helicopter blades and they start going. He just grabs a hold and they take off.
He would not pass a drug test.
He's getting even stronger.
You're introduced to Sergeant Slaughter, and Sergeant Slaughter is,
man.
Yeah, he's man, but he's basically going to turn old Falcon into a Joe yet. That's just kind of what's going on there. What's going on everywhere else in that?
Rough training in the slaughterhouse. Once again, my favorite G.I. Joe, probably because he is a professional wrestler.
Yeah, he is. This is what he did in his free time.
He trained Joes.
Yeah.
Back in Cobra Law, they're trying to escape, and the bad dudes, Cobra Law, they're trying to get the BET so they can use that energy air to...
Energico.
Yeah. Energico to power the spore missiles to launch into the atmosphere and explode and turn basically the whole human race into these
mindless
beast creature snake things.
That means we got a zombie apocalypse on our hand, and that ain't any good.
Yeah, so they just want to just kind of...
Kill humans
and start over and be...
Cobra.
Be Cobra, reign supreme. That is the villain Globulus's plan. Played by Burgess Meredith in this movie.
Hungry.
He's a wrecking machine, and he's hungry.
Yeah.
Yes. So, they made him the first ever G.I. Joe.
They based? Are you going to tell me they based him?
No, I was not.
No? Okay. No.
They based Globulus on Mickey from Rocky.
Oh, God!
They didn't base anything. He was the
no, they based Rocky on Globulus.
He was the first G.I. Joe action figure to be made without legs. He just had a big snake serpent body.
Big snake buddy guy.
So he's big bad. He basically inceptioned Dr. Mindbender with this idea to take the DNA from great leaders throughout history and create Sorpentor, who is going to be the new leader of Cobra because Cobra Commander failed.
Yeah.
Cobra Law. A lot of Cobra references going on.
A lot of snakes.
I mean, shit. They go into battle, and now they're chanting, Cobra, la 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 la. The writer of this movie...
was very high.
And he regretted doing that, because they do it a lot. From that point on, Cobra, la 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 la. Throughout. And he's apologized since. But what's he apologizing for? That's great.
I always thought that kind of stuck.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, because what usually they say either... Cobra!
Cobra!
Or they say, Cobra, retreat!
Yeah.
A lot. It's like they're like basically every episode of this TV show is like likened to an episode of Pokemon. Like Cobra comes in, and then by the end, they're blasting them off again.
That is correct, Wobba Fett. So
Waka Waka.
Yuck. Yucko Sucko. So here we are. The Joes are defending the BET. Cobras are trying to take it once more with Serpentor at the helm, but now with the aid of Cobra. La 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 la. And a big epic.
Cobra La La Land. It's the biggest crossover of the year.
Starring Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. So.
Just married. Whoa.
Wait. Big war breaks out. Duke is fighting Serpentor. His half-brother.
Captain Falcon.
Yeah, Lieutenant Falcon comes in. He's like, lay off Duke. I'll take care of him. Serpentor gets his little snake spear, throws it to kill Falcon. No! Duke dives in the way, gets stabbed right in the fucking heart. And what did he say? Was a patriotic line?
He's like, be a G.I. Or no, he says, be a patriot to this country. Yo, Joe. And they're like, he fell into a coma. They're just like sitting there with him.
He's like bleeding out. He's like, he's in a coma. Like, where's the doctor? He figured that out.
Like, he died.
And that is.
He never woke up.
That is big facts. The original script, he died. The toy, they're fading out the toy. It's all about toys.
Yeah.
They're fading out the toy. And yeah, they killed him off. But in the recording process, they're like, we can't kill off Duke. It's not going to go over well with the kiddies. So
the kids can't handle this.
I mean, this movie, if you think about it, could be on the heavy side. They just changed a lot, so it wasn't. But they put in that line that he's in a coma. But you never see Duke again in this movie.
He did.
But we're coming into the finale here, the last 20 minutes or so. And, now it's like the battle for vengeance, but it's also the battle to save the Earth. Got to stop Cobra Law from using said BET to power jazz these spore missile things and that.
Yeah.
And, stop Cobra Law from destroying the Earth. So, yeah, yo, Joe, let's ride in, save the day. So now they got the aid of Falcon, who's on, you know, a revenge path and, you know, like I said, to save the Earth with the Slaughterhouse, Sergeant Slaughter and his new batch of badasses.
And they get right in there and they take it down, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Jinx. And Jinx.
And the other Rawhides. Yeah. The new crew.
Yeah. The new crew. And they all end up having their moments. Jinx defeats Pythona.
Yeah.
She just kind of ducks her. Jinx is an interesting character in my opinion because she sucks when she's not blind. That's like her character. Like, she's really good if she's blindfolded. And that's not like a joke. Like, she blindfolds herself in the middle of the battle when she decides to get serious.
Like, and then she ends up ducking her. I suck. Yeah.
Yeah, she ends up ducking her, and Pythona falls to her death. And then, as we've already mentioned a couple times, Sergeant Slaughter, he takes Nemesis Enforcer and just fucking tosses him. Even though he has wings and can fly, he doesn't care. He scares those wings off him.
But he's just axe handling this guy. He's like, this is for me. This is for Duke. And this is for America. Boom.
Got him.
Gets him in the Cobra. How funny is that?
Sergeant
Slaughter's finisher in WWE was the Cobra Clutch.
He's a man.
I am hard as shit.
That is erect.
Oh, my God.
He gets him in an old... Falcon is going up against Serpentor, and I believe he ends up getting Serpentor. He just, like, basically knocks Serpentor out of the building. That's basically all he does to Serpentor.
Yeah, now that I think about it, what did happen to Serpentor?
He, like, gets pooped out the little end. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. But then Duke has to – or not Duke, I'm sorry.
Duke, he did.
Duke in a coma. Falcon has to go up against Galapagos Islands.
Galobulus.
Yeah, he's got to go up against old Mickey because Mickey loves you. And he honestly is—he basically loses because I mean, Galobulus postpones him enough, kind of holds him off long enough for the spores to be complete. By the time he deactivates the machine, spores are falling to the earth. He runs away. But old Falcon decides he's going to crank up the heat. He's got Falcon punch those. He's going to Falcon knee him right out of the...
Yes!
Yeah. He looks at Sergeant Slaughter and says, show your boobs. But he decides he's going to basically turn up that BET real, real high and burn all those pollen spores out of the sky. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I was like, I would destroy our ozone.
That's what you said. You're like, our ozone's fucked. I'm like, no, it's like a liver. It'll be fine.
Global
cleanse
warming,
itself.
Global warming started there. Whoops. Sea levels rose a lot that day. But we're fine. Everything's fine.
How are you?
And he still got kicked out. But yeah, that's basically how the movie ends. They find out that Duke woke up from his coma, and everyone's cheering, and old Falcon gets the gal. He kisses Jinx, and yeah, that's how...
Whoa. Relax. They didn't smooch. They just walked off.
No, I thought they kind of...
I don't think so.
Tussle.
We'll
figure. I guess that's not the proper word.
We'll go watch it again.
No, let's watch the whole movie.
I mean,
let's watch that intro.
So two things we just kind of glazed over that really need to be spoken on. Yes, Cobra Commander was seen as big bad for a long time, whether it was the toys, the comics, and in the cartoon, and then eventually Sorpenter came, and he was the new big bad. So in this movie, yes, Cobra Commander gets subjected to punishment with these spores, and he's mutated, and you see him without his mask, and he literally becomes a fucking snake. Mm-hmm. So that was a big surprise to me when I was younger, and it's kind of a bummer because he's like, yeah, he's a snake, and then he just slithers off and he's gone forever.
I mean, does he slither off or does he fall into the pit with that other snake? No. He ends up saving the day.
Yeah, he does. He like I said, he ends up, he's like Anakin.
Yeah, exactly.
Only on this podcast will you hear comparisons to G.I. Joe and Star Wars. And then I think it's a very fine way to close out our conversation about the story of this movie, because it starts the movie, and for us it ended the movie because we went back and rewatched the beginning. The opening of this movie, best part, one of the best openings in any movie, if you're asking me.
Cinema history.
Yes. You were saying an animated history. I'm just like, how about history? Yes. The attack of the Statue of Liberty. Cobra is doing a terrorist bombing, and G.I. Joe flies in and saves the day, and it's just this epic intro
to a
movie.
Turn the tide?
Yes.
What if it was like Hugh Jackman, like, who can turn the tide?
Maybe we'll find out when we go see him live, baby, live. Yes, Cobra flies in with their own theme song, and it's epic as shit, crashing through the sky.
Well, actually, that big ship was blasting that.
Turned up their subwoofer, crashing through the sky.
That's how people knew they were coming. Like, we need some badass music playing in this bitch.
And then Duke's up on the Statue of Liberty singing his theme song. Yo, Joe!
He has his bazooka that's also a Bluetooth speaker.
He's flying off his jetpack, which is also a Bluetooth speaker.
Literally right on the jetpack says Beats by Dre.
Yeah. And, it's just amazing, like, just music video of a thing. Because that's all it is. They fly in, save the day.
Like,
it's the most American thing you've
ever
seen.
Sell toys.
Let's make America great again, G.I. Joe.
Let's make it a great
Yo, again. Joe!
Honestly, at the end of that, I'm like, the intro is so damn good. Mm-hmm. I've watched that intro more than this movie.
As soon as it started, we both were like, yes!
I was singing, I went to go to the bathroom before I was peeing, and I started humming it, and I'm like, I'm ready.
Crashing through the sky comes a fearful cry. Cobra.
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 Yes.
All right, well, that is the film. If you've never watched this movie and you have fond memories of maybe the animated series and or just G.I. Joe in general, I mean, they did make a comeback. I don't know if they're around. I know they're around, but I don't know if they're, like, as big. I know they made a really big, like, was it CG? Was it CG? Was it Sigma? Sigma 6?
Well, no, Sigma 6 was eventually an animated show, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the resurgence was a CGI.
Yeah.
VHS came with, like,
because I remember I had a giant Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow toy that came in a box set together. It was my birthday at Kids USA, Kids Street USA. It was basically a Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, yeah.
But I got that there, and that came with a movie. And I believe it was a Sigma 6 movie. I had a lot of those toys. They were pretty badass, those ones. But, this movie is definitely worth a watch. If you want, like, old-school 80s animation...
I'm trying to take off the nostalgia goggles for my, like, should you watch it or not. And I actually feel like if you enjoy, like, cheesy movies, this is right up your alley.
I mean, there's some bullshit.
Certainly
they're
right
like
up your alley.
The Cobra Law, they're supposed to be, like, high tech and like civilized. They think the humans are non-civilized and stuff. But
they're riding around like on slugs.
Yeah, they're using like instead of like just using like a kitchen timer to determine their time, they have a little worm on a stick, and when the worm reaches the top of the stick, that means it's ready.
Like, that stick gets shoved in his eye too.
That stick did get shoved in his eye.
That's how he gets it. Yeah, it cheese at its best, especially for animated movies, and it feels straight up 80s, and it's a good time.
Yeah, yeah. So you ready to take that movie to the factory and imagine what it would look like if it came out today?
What would this bitch look like?
All if right. So
real peoples.
On this portion of the show, this is where we take the movie we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That is where we decide what this film would look like if it were remade today. And since it's an animated film, we are going to discuss as if it were a live action remake of the film. So who would be the actresses and actors involved? Who would be director? And because there's so many Joes, I was wondering, do you want to do a composer, or would you rather just do director and then several G.I. Joes?
Let's do that.
Several G.I. Joes?
Let's do that.
So, director, and then what G.I. Joes are you thinking?
So let's do, even though he's like the main dude, let's do Duke.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do
Falcon.
Lieutenant Falcon, Jinx, because she's the female lead. How about Galobulus? He's big bad. And what do you want to do? Serpentor?
Or Duke, who else? Falcon, Jinx, Globulus. You could do Roadblock because he's a bigger role.
That's Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, it's Dwayne Johnson already. You could
cast it.
Serpentor. Yeah, Serpentor.
Serpentor. I was going to say Cobra Commander, but that's more a voice, if anything.
Pretty much. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. anyone else? This is five.
I'm trying to think of who else stands out in this movie as a character besides Roadblock and Cobra Commander, Jinx. How about
let's just cast the guy that throws missiles, Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Nemesis Enforcer.
Nemesis Enforcer, just big guy that says nothing. Well, we can do Pythona. Then we have three bads, three goods.
Pythona. That's a good one. I'll have to come up with that one on the fly, but I'll figure it out by the time we get to Renat. All
right, let's start with Pythona. All right, so this remake, G.I. Joe remake, if it was coming out today, who would you have directed?
Okay, so this one's a little more controversial because he hasn't made a movie since 2003. He's been in a lot of legal trouble in the years past. He just hasn't really touched a film. I don't know his full history. He could be in more trouble than I'm thinking. I'm going John McTiernan. I'll say it with confidence. John McTiernan. Do you know what kind of films he's made?
No.
I'll tell you. He's done some of your favorite action movies, okay? He's done Predator. Hello. He did Die Hard. Yes. Last Action Hero.
Fuck.
Sexy. He did The 13th Warrior. Hello. Rollerball. Why not?
Is Rollerball the one? How old is that film?
2002.
Never mind.
It's pretty old. He did Hunt for Red October. He did Die Hard with a Vengeance. He's a great action director. And when I see him, I think 80s action, especially mainly because of Predator and Die Hard, two of my favorite action movies ever. And I would just love for him to get back in the chair and just direct an action movie. Like I said, I don't know his full history. I apologize if he's done something really horrible. That is my fault for not looking into his personal life a little further, but I'm kind of just avoiding that and more focusing on the art side of it. And the dude knows how to direct an action movie, so bring back the nostalgia of those action movies he used to direct and fill it into the nostalgia of G.I. Joe the movie.
So my director is going to be a surprise to you. I decided to look at this film, and you even said it. You're like, this film could be darker and could have some darker tones to it. And I thought of a director. I was like, all right, who has done war movies? Who has done – because there's a lot of sci-fi aspects and like almost like an – Cobra Law is like almost like an alien world, right? So I went with Ridley Scott. The worst, best director in Hollywood. I hate Ridley Scott.
This is a surprise to me to hear you say that because I know you're deep-seated.
I
hate
do not like him.
Old Ridley
I
Scott.
I think he's pretty bad, most of his work.
This would be, like, too deep of a movie for him.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, I was thinking, like, Black Hawk Down. I actually really do like Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, you know.
Have you seen Black Hawk Down?
No, I haven't
seen it. It's really, really good.
Did he direct that one?
He did. Black Hawk Down's really, really good. Either directed it or produced it, but he was involved in Black Hawk Down. It's a very, very good film, and it's really tense. It's got, like, really tense war scenes. I mean, the whole movie is about a Black Hawk that gets shot down, and they're stranded.
You don't say.
But then I think, like, Cobra Law, and I think no further than, like, think about the aliens in Alien Covenant and Prometheus and, like, that style of, like, these spores and, like, pods and these alien worlds that he's helped to create throughout the years and stuff. I just think of that and the, like, action and some movies like Blade Runner and stuff. And, I mean, he can handle the dialogue because he's boring.
Tell your captain the truth.
Yeah.
You like Blade Runner.
I don't like Blade Runner, though. I've watched it twice, and both times, I watched the director's cut, which is what everyone tells you to watch. And it was boring. I'm not a person that's like, boring movies bore me. Like, I can't watch it because it's too boring. You know, like, people will be like, Lord of the Rings, too boring for me. Like, I'm not like that usually. It's just that movie, I just can't get into it. And I like movies like that usually. Like, I like movies that are more, like, artsy and have, like, an edge to them and stuff. And especially sci-fi films. But for whatever reason, I just can't get into Blade Runner. And the last time I watched it, I would have been 20 and or 21. So it's not like I was, like, super, super young in comparison to how old I am now. So I don't know if maybe I'll appreciate it the older I get.
Well, when we get to that on the Movie Factory one day.
But Ridley Scott was my choice for this.
That's surprising to me that you went old Way of Widley.
Widley Rot.
Way of Widley.
Widley Rot.
Ridley Scott to direct G.I. Joe, the movie. That makes me giddy.
So you're just going to give it to me?
No, I'm going to flip you for it, though.
What was your guy's name?
John McTiernan.
McTiernan.
Come on, guy.
Well, sometimes I just spell them the way I think they're spelled.
And you're like, what did I write?
Yeah. Heads.
Scott.
Mine. Scott. And McTiernan. Tails. Tails. John McTiernan.
All right. Well, hopefully he didn't do anything too bad.
He did. We got Ridley Scott in the
Yeah,
ones.
He's back up.
Pythona. So Pythona was the gal that broke in to basically tell Sepentor who he was and give him this grand plan to steal the BET. But she's also, like, second in command of Cobra Law, I would say, under Globulus. So she's, like, a badass assassin kind of gal. Who you got?
Well, when you say badass assassin gal, and I think action movies, this is old school. This is 1995, but she can still kick it today. And that is Famke Janssen.
Mm-hmm.
She played Xenia Onatopp. She played Jean Grey in the X-Men series. She's been in the Taken trilogy. The Taken trilogy.
Stay woke.
Great actress in general. And she's dipped her hand in some action as well. She's got this exotic presence. And she's beautiful. And she can kick some ass. And... yeah, she's just been doing her thing for a long time, and she's still great, and why not play Pythona in G.I. Joe, the movie, this badass chick?
I went with the way Pythona's look is, she's got, like, shaved head, mm-hmm. long, like, hair, ponytail thing coming out of it.
Imagine being involved with this, yes.
And she's kind of a badass assassin gal. Sci-fi-y, a lot of makeup.
Sci-fi-y.
A lot of makeup and prosthetics would probably be utilized. So I went with someone who has played a role like this, and that
son
is
of a bitch.
Karen Gillan.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah. Nebula. Nebula from Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Endgame, or Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame, mm-hmm. Guardians 1. Also in Jumanji. Not the remake, but the sequel to Jumanji. She's really good in everything I've seen her in, and she's good at playing Nebula. Now, Nebula could be seen as, because she is, like, part cyborg, mm-hmm. somewhat of a wooden character, but she's good in Jumanji.
She is good, and she's in other things, too, that she's pretty solid in. And it was funny that you say she could be seen as wooden. At first, I did not really care for Nebula. And it was only in these later films. She's been in a few now as that character.
Four total.
Yeah, I'm like, it was especially in Infinity War. Or no.
Endgame, really.
Well, that too. I was going to say, like, I'm like, I dig her now. And then I look back on those older ones. I'm like, I dig this now too.
Yeah.
Like, I get it is more what I'm saying. And her.
That's character development. That's power of Pine Sol, baby.
So,
I don't know.
Either. I don't know either. her as Nebula, though, is kind of like Pythona. Like, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
Take it.
Yeah, right. All right, so next. Good pull. Serpentor or Globulus?
Let's go Globulus.
Globulus. So you got
Just because he's new, big bad, Serpentor is a little more on the nostalgia there. So I'm going, when I think of villainous, menacing people, we've used them a few times, but I was watching this. I'm like, who would play this bizarre creature villain on the big screen? I'm going Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe, Globulus.
Thank God. Godspeed, Duke.
When this time worm reaches the top, do what you want with her, then broom her fast.
Thank God.
Shit. Yes, I'm going with Willem Dafoe. Not much needs to be said about him. However, if you don't know who the hell I'm talking about, he's the Green Goblin. He is in the Boondock Saints. He was recently nominated for an Oscar for playing Van Gogh. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the movie. Mm. He was also nominated for an Oscar for The Florida Project. Yes. Great actor. Great character actor. And he is not shy from being in those like comic booky kind of films. I mentioned Spider-Man. He's also in the new Aquaman. Very, very villainous in portrayal, but an excellent actor as well.
So Globulus is bald. He's a villain character. So I was like, all right, who's bald and known for playing villains? And the one person I could think of was Mark Strong. Mark Strong, villain in Sherlock Holmes, the remakes. Villain in Shazam. I don't think he's the villain in Kingsman. He's a good guy in Kingsman, correct?
Yes, he plays Merlin.
But he's bad guy in Green Lantern. Bad guy in Kick-Ass. Bad guy in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Bad
like he's
guy
consistently,
in Stardust, which
yeah,
is one of my favorites.
Consistently a bad guy, Mark Strong. And he's really good at playing that bad guy. And he's got that bald head. And he's kind of got a menacing voice to go along with it. Why I would pick Mark Strong over Willem Dafoe is because I feel like that character is kind of like Willem Dafoe seems smaller, like skinny, scrawny, whereas Mark Strong, maybe not scrawny or like ripped by any means, but a bigger build to him. And I feel like the bald head.
Well, let's be honest. Globulus is going to be CGI anyway.
Yeah, but Mark Strong, he's evil. He's evil.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe is good too.
Evil.
Mark Strong's good sometimes.
But you know how much good, I sacrificed.
Even when he's good, he's like,
You're gonna challenge me on Willem Dafoe.
I'm gonna challenge Willem. So heads, Willem.
He was a bad guy in Grand Budapest Hotel.
Heads, Willem. Tails, Mark Strong.
Holy shit, you got him.
Tails, Mark Strong.
What? You changed it on me?
Yeah, because I wrote yours first.
Fuck.
It's whichever one's first, and usually I have mine pre-written, but today I don't. That's why usually mine's heads.
Oh.
There's a method. Yeah. There's a method.
All right.
So, Mark Strong as our Globulus. What about our Serpentor?
Serpentor.
Leader.
Of the Cobra.
Yarp.
This I command. I'm going a little different here. I'm taking an actor who's known for always playing the good guy. I want to make him be the villain in this movie. Chris Hemsworth. Hmm. Hear me out.
Liam. Yeah.
big dude, yes. I guess you kind of get to see a little bad side to him in a comical kind of way in Ghostbusters, the Answer the Call, the female remake. And he's great in that movie. But he's always known as like either the comic relief or like the handsome dude or the superhero, that kind of deal. Let's make him the bad guy and like really just cover him up with a big fucking snake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see, he's such a good actor and I think he has more diversity than we're led on to believe, and we've been able to see that through these Avengers movies with his comedic side. How about, let's see, like, how he handles a big bad kind of role?
I had someone in mind, and I don't really know why I chose them.
Joe,
I think
Levitt.
it's because I don't know if he'd be able to pull off this role. I'm sure he would to an extent, but he just, every time I see him, and he's played a superhero, but every time I see him, I think in my head, like, he looks more like a bad guy to me.
Shaquille O'Neal.
The way his, like, I don't
Steel.
Know. Ben Affleck. But I don't know. Has he ever played a role like this? Has he ever actually played, like, an actual, like, supervillain? He's played Batman in the Batman v Superman and Justice League. I just feel like he even seemed, like, it's just the way his persona is and the way he looks. He almost, like, always seems like a bad guy to me.
I'm sure many would say that.
So I just always thought, Ben Affleck, great actor. I don't know if he's ever portrayed a role quite like this, though,
no.
Where he'd be, like, basically like over-the-top leader, bad guy, yeah. But I was, like, thinking in my head, I'm like, I was trying to think of, like, same as you, kind of, it's funny. I was thinking of, like, a superhero that could play a villain. And he, I don't know why he popped in mind, because I almost went Henry Cavill, but I was like, I haven't seen, actually, Henry Cavill act enough. Like, seen him a couple movies, and that's it.
I almost wish you would have gone Henry Cavill, because I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know that side, but I know Ben Affleck enough. I don't know him personally. I mean, we're friends, yeah, but
we have numbers. We text.
We hooked up once.
Yeah, we text from time to time.
It was during Daredevil, and
he was in a rough spot.
He took my hands. Took my hands.
Colin Farrell. I choose him.
Ooh, that'd be better.
Fuck. We might just have Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell. Well, but with his Irish accent.
This I command. I don't know. Who do you want? You want Ben Affleck?
Or Colin Farrell?
It's your pick. I picked Chris Hemsworth.
I like Chris Hemsworth, to be honest. I'd rather Chris Hemsworth, because I feel like Sepentor, he was made in a lab. They're not going to pluck him out in his 40s.
Chris Hemsworth looks like he was made in a lab, so.
Well, yeah, but that's, like, the thing, too. I feel like they're not going to, like, if they make this man in the lab, they're not, like, let's make him 50 years old. How old's Ben Affleck? 40?
He's mid to late 40s.
Yeah, so they're not going to be like, let's make him old so he's, like, halfway through.
But he's, like, in a suit and shit, too. I know I'm defending your pick, but, you know.
Chris Hemsworth does look like he was built in a fucking lab. Him and Liam. And then there's the forgotten Hemsworth brother. Sorry, forgotten Hemsworth brother. Yep.
Bobby Joe.
You can't even say your name right.
Bobby Joe Hemsworth.
Yeah. I think Hemsworth is a good pick for Sepentor. Right. His voice does it all. Jinx. You got him.
I'm going with an actress. Her name is Jamie Chung. You familiar with her at all?
No.
Sadly, I got introduced to her in the show, or not the show, fuck my face off. It was the movie, Dragon Ball Evolution, that
she
must not
Bulma.
Be named. She played, no, not Bulma, that was, Emily Rose, Rosem? What's her name?
I don't know.
She played Chi-Chi in Dragon Ball Evolution.
Yeah.
So she has had her hand in some martial arts action, but she does a lot of voice acting lately, but she was in that show Gotham. She played Valerie Vale. Hello. She's in Big Hero 6, doing voices and whatnot. But I would like to see her. She played Mulan in that show Once Upon
a Time?
Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
That show Once.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
And I would just like to see her get back in that martial arts feel. And yeah, play rock some Jinx. The blind.
What was her name again?
Jamie Chung.
So is, and this isn't meant to be because it's animated. Jinx is she Asian American, African American?
African American. Definitely Asian American.
Okay.
If anything.
Well, yeah, no, I just, it's animated, her name was Jinx throughout, and I was, I was just wondering. Because originally my pick was Alexander Shipp, who plays Storm in the new,
In
the new one's coming out. Like, she played her in Apocalypse, and then,
Was she in that movie?
Yeah.
I tried to erase
that's the only
movie
one
from
I've
my memory.
Seen. Yeah, she's in Apocalypse, but Asian American. I was trying to think of someone who had been in a recent film, and I really couldn't come up with anyone.
It really doesn't matter. Well, no, that's the idea for diversity there.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking because I thought I was honestly the hair is what I was looking towards.
Yeah. Storm,
and I was between her and Lupita Nyong'o.
She's
a little older because she's supposed to be like a rookie, either. So I'd imagine she'd be younger.
Right.
And that's what the feel I get from Alexandra Shipp, who plays Storm in the new X-Men movies. That's what she's probably best known for. I mean, she was in that new movie Love, Simon.
And
like A Dog's Way Home, and she used to be in the show House of Anubis on Nickelodeon.
I remember that show.
Unfortunately. Yeah, I know. And she's had smaller roles in other things, but she's gonna be in the Shaft remake.
Hey. You know what? Write her down because that character in general is more like known for being like kind of an up and comer. Yes, she's in some big stuff, obviously, but she's not like a staple. I mean, yes, she's playing Storm, which is a big role. But let's make her the female lead.
Right on.
How about that?
Falcon or Duke? Duke. Let's go Duke.
Let's do Duke.
Falcon's the... Yeah. Duke. It's easy.
Yeah, we have unanimously.
Yeah. John Cena. John Cena has to be Duke. And you know what's funny? You only see him for half the movie. The other half, he's John Cena. You don't see him.
I was up in the air between two Captain Americas. Okay, you got John Cena... You got Chris Hemsworth.
But you're like
Chris Evans, rather.
John Cena is America's ass.
John Cena is America's ass.
Yeah.
He played a role in Avengers Endgame as Captain America's ass.
Yeah.
Yes. John Cena as Duke, that goes without saying. That has been a fantasy.
Even watch him in, like, Bumblebee, which I didn't see, but I saw the commercials.
I was
That's
like,
Duke.
Let's call him Duke.
That's Duke right there. That's Duke. Just from the commercials, I'm like, Duke. Yeah. He's like, hi, I'm John. I'm like, nope, Duke.
Duke. That's it. Easy peasy.
Easy picks.
John Cena.
He already played a Marine once.
Yes, right. Okay, this is going to be just a pro wrestler filled movie. That and as Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter.
I don't care if he's in his late 60s. He's
there.
Maggot.
Falcon. Falcon Punch.
So, yes, he is our technical lead of this movie. I wanted someone with some star power.
We need someone now that's younger than
a little younger.
Johnson.
Yeah. I'm sticking with the Hemsworth clan. I'm going Liam. Liam Hemsworth is Lieutenant Falcon. Get rid of that Australian accent and whatever that was. And
I don't know what that was.
And be his character from
exactly what Doug used to say.
Be his character from Expendables 2, but in this one he doesn't.
But he doesn't get roundhouse kicked with a Bowie knife to the chest.
He doesn't go way of Quentin.
I choose Jean-Claude Van Damme for my Falcon.
Hey, how about gonna kick that son of a bitch?
Bison, so hot. You want a Hemsworth?
I wish
you want the Hemsworth. They look the same.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. One just has black hair.
We'll give
Matt Damon to play.
We'll give Serpentor a curly mustache.
Want Matt Damon to play Falcon.
Oh, man.
I want Dennis Quaid to play my Falcon.
I want
Channing Tatum.
The actor passed away, sadly, but I would love if Raul Julia was able to play Serpentor. He was M. Bison in Street Fighter the movie, and he was Gomez Adams in the first two Adams Family movies.
Thank God.
Of course!
It's a fake.
What? Yes. So, yeah, I'm going Liam. Who you got as Lieutenant Falcon?
Kevin Bacon.
So please.
No, for my Lieutenant Falcon, I was trying to think of someone that has this younger feel to them and also is – I honestly have never seen them in a war movie. However, I've been seeing previews for a movie that they're about to star in, and I've seen war scenes from it, and that's Nicholas Holt. I know you're not a big fan of his, but he's in Tolkien that's just coming out, and I've been seeing a lot of like his portrayal of the war.
He's in Jack the Giant Slayer. Hello.
Yeah. Well, that's not a war movie.
It's a war against fucking giants.
He's in Mad Max.
Yeah.
What a day.
He's in Mad Max.
It's not a war movie.
It's crazy enough to be a G.I. Joe movie.
Why don't we cast, what is George Miller? Why don't we get him fucking directing this film. Oh, they'd be using real. They'd be using like lasers.
I didn't think about that.
George Miller be using like real lasers and shooting people.
Shit, I didn't even think of that.
He'd turn a man into a snake for this movie.
Yeah, that'd be a better movie. George Miller directing.
He plays Beast in the X-Men movies now. And he's a good actor. He's good. Why don't you like him?
I don't know.
Okay. Someone you like, find him attractive or something? What?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh.
I don't know. Who's an actor you just don't like?
Dennis Quaid?
Yeah. It's like that.
But I don't like him because he sucks.
Exactly.
But Nicholas Holt's pretty good, though.
Well, Dennis Quaid's pretty good.
Yeah. Is he?
Did you see Dragonheart?
I did. I think we both were like, eesh.
But The Rookie.
I haven't seen The Rookie because I don't like Dennis Quaid. But everyone's like, oh, you got to see The Rookie. I'm like, one good movie doesn't make up for Dennis Quaid's sins.
What about Jaws 3? Come on. The best.
That's why he got replaced in Jaws 4.
Listen.
I
don't like Nicholas Holt.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine with Liam Hemsworth. You even saying, like, Expendables 2, Liam Hemsworth, that dies 20, 25 minutes in.
Excellent.
Yeah, he fits. I remember thinking, I'm like, why is he in this? Oh, he's dead. Like, I remember going into him, like, they want action heroes, and they got Liam Hemsworth, the guy from Miley Cyrus's husband.
What if we had Stallone play Serpentor?
You know, he would take it to the next level.
This I command. Cobra.
Well, then you need Mick as Globulus.
What if Jimmy Stewart was Globulus? Oh,
he couldn't get a word in edgewise. He'd be too busy explaining, and he'd be like, Falcon, hold on, don't press that BET. Just come here. Pull up some cushion. I'll help you. I'll even help your friend, what's his name, Roadblock? I'll help him get his vision. I'll have him drink this. Drink it, sip it up like medicine.
Once the ice melts in this brandy, the BET will ignite my spore missiles.
Yeah, my spore missiles will rain down from the sky, and you're going to die.
See those spores? I'll throw a rasso around and pull them down for you, and you'll turn into a fucking lizard.
Yeah. What about if instead, Globulus doesn't send spores into the sky. He sends pizza. It's Tobey Maguire. It's pizza time.
When this
worm gets up to the top, it'll be pizza time.
What if Tobey Maguire played Nemesis Enforcer?
He does. It's just...
Shit.
All right. Well, that is our film, the G.I. Joe Animated, the movie, directed by John McTiernan. John Cena is our Duke.
Or George Miller.
Our Pythona is Karen Gillum. Sepentor, played by Chris Hemsworth. Globulus, played by Mark Strong. Jinx, played by Alexandra Shipp. Falcon, played by Liam Hemsworth. And John Cena is Duke. I said that twice because it's so nice.
Roadblock now? Mess with the Joes, you gotta go.
Roadblock versus Duke. Once in a lifetime?
Twice.
Fourth
in a lifetime.
So that is our film. That was G.I. Joe the movie.
It's been a minute since you've asked me a question. Any time she comes question, what do you, have you got anything on deck for me?
In the vein
of old G.I. Joe.
So we see this commonly, that people like to remake things like we talk about here, but they also like to modernize these cartoons and things from the past. Nostalgia wave is a big thing right now, right? Bringing back these old school consoles and video games and things like that. That's huge right now. So if you could bring back a cartoon from your childhood, what cartoon would it be?
As a cartoon?
Yeah, as a cartoon. Oh, no, just bring it back. Just bring it back. It could be a live-action show, cartoon, etc. You're just bringing it back. It's gonna just continue either where it left off or just, you know, start from the beginning and keep going.
That's tough. What time frame do I got? 90s, 80s, 90s?
I said from your childhood. So, I mean, I would say 90s, but you probably watched cartoons in the 80s. Just because I was born in 95 doesn't mean I didn't watch the G.I. Joes from the 80s and stuff, so...
Tough one, because I would love to see like a Thundercats live action
thunder,
movie.
Thundercats.
I would love to see a resurgence of Darkwing Duck.
Love to see Sailor Moon again.
I would. But honestly, if you're asking me to print money, I would want a resurgence of Gargoyles.
Okay.
I think Gargoyles is fucking awesome, and it could benefit from, like, maybe even a movie, like a live-action movie. Why haven't we had that yet is my question. We're getting Sonic the Hedgehog, which looks like garbage.
Sonic has teeth.
Gargoyles have teeth. Why not that? Yeah, maybe something like that. I mean, I've been saying for years to make a Batman Beyond movie. But that's not the question you're asking. You're asking, like, a reboot of in a cartoon.
I just want them to bring it back. It doesn't even have to be a reboot. I'm saying you just bring it back.
Reruns.
Yeah, no. I said not even reruns. I said they just continue it on. They either continue the show where it left off, or they start it from the beginning and go on again. Like reruns then, but they continue.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like Dragon Ball Kai. Remember when Dragon Ball Z Kai came out, where they, like, re-ran through it, but they kind of re-edited it.
Okay. Or, like, just a super, like, a continuation.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about cartoons all the time, so maybe, like, a Dexter's Lab would be fun.
Dexter's Laboratory!
If only this time it's actually good, because, like, it was great at first, and then they, like, switched animators, and it kind of fell into a decline and got canceled.
Cow and chicken? Mama had a chicken. Daddy had a cow.
I wouldn't want a Cow and Chicken reboot, but... Doug's had his time in the sun.
About Rocko's Modern Life.
Yes.
See how far they could go. Yes. They'd end up on, like, Adult Swim.
Rocko's Modern Life. I would like, you know, my favorite cartoon of all time, not including, like, a Dragon Ball Z, would be Hey Arnold.
Ed, and Eddie. That's mine.
That's yours. I would like Hey Arnold because I feel like that show promotes, like, excellent life lessons, and it doesn't treat the audience like idiots. And
like
it's still,
every show does.
Yeah, it's able to be, like, smart and clever and funny, but, like, just give you real life lessons, like real life stuff.
What about Billy and Mandy?
My daddy called me the Midnight Sailor until I went to bed so much my father called me the Midnight Sailor until I was 32 years old. I'm 33.
Classic. Hoss Delgado, Spectral Investigator.
I'm gonna send you back to where you came from. Oh, really? Oh, happy day! That sound like him?
Yeah, a little bit. Huh?
Shit. Yeah, I mean, I'd like some
Billy
Mandy.
And he starts laughing. He's, like, making that face. I would even, like, take back, like, the last 5 or 6 years of SpongeBob and just give me the old, like... old version of SpongeBob, because you can't even watch, like, they changed, like, SpongeBob changed, its comedy changed, it changed its modern era of comedy, where it's, like, it's got to be stupid, and like, almost dumbed down, where, like, old SpongeBob was, like, dropping, like, suggestive prison jokes, like, that episode with Gary, he's trying to get Gary to take him, he's like, look, Gary, the blooms, and they're soap, and he's like, don't drop them, and he winks, I'm like, yeesh.
Shit. Excuse me, sir. I hope my horrible ugliness won't bother you.
Not at all, boy! Ah!
Whoa, whoa! My leg!
Yeah, there's so many good cartoons. I was surprised you didn't go...
SpongeBob resurgence, but SpongeBob's still gone.
I know. But even, like, I was surprised you didn't say Batman. Like, just Batman the Animated Series, bring back.
I said Batman Beyond as a live-action
movie.
Yeah,
I know, but...
I mean, but it would have to be the old-school Batman... the animated series, which is probably my second favorite animated show of all time. So dark and just different. I mean, the show was drawn and colored on black paper.
Yeah.
As opposed to white. It was a darker show. And
the music.
The show in general is just great. But halfway through, once again, it went to a different animation studio, and it just looks different, feels different, wasn't the same. So if it was brought back in the vein of the old show, yes. So, yeah, I'd be in between Gargoyles, Hey Arnold, Batman, the animated
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Series.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Old school Yu-Gi-Oh, though.
Hey, Yogi!
Hey, Yog!
Yo, go get him, Yog!
Ren and Stimpy?
I thought about that for a quick second. We're looking at my shelf. Yeah. Batman. Oh, I got them all right there.
Yeah, I know.
I got
Prince Tennis.
I got yes. I got DuckTales, Awoo up here, and how about Legend of Zelda the cartoon?
How about
no, Scott?
How about Godzilla the animated series?
Godzilla da da da, Godzilla da da da, and Godzuki da 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 da. That's from like the 70s.
I was gonna say that is not like Godzilla like the animated series.
It's like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah. That is not Godzilla the animated series.
That's not Matthew Broderick. Yeah, not my Godzilla.
Nah, he has psychopathic. Yeah, he'll go with that. he can like telepathically communicate with Godzilla and control him in that version.
Mickey Sagusa?
Kinda.
We're getting on a different rant there.
Yeah, we are.
That's not for everyone.
Nah, but yeah, that's good. Good cartoon rant.
We got had some G.I. Joe action tonight. I feel more patriotic than ever. We
should save this for fucking July 4th.
We got Independence Day for that one.
Oh, how God.
Oh, mummy.
How do we recast? Yes.
David!
Yeah, how do we recast that? That's the real question. But G.I. Joe the movie, thanks for joining us tonight or wherever the hell you're listening.
And whenever.
I yes, indeed. I like to say every now and then that I indeed make meals themed to the movie. Tonight we watch a movie where G.I. Joe battles Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world. So I made snake. I made python meat. Did it turn out so well? But
I don't know.
You'll have that.
Did you actually eat it?
I ate a lot of it, but my mouth got tired of chewing that muscle. So there you have it.
All right.
But I tried.
Yeah, all right. Well, that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out on our other podcasting sources. We are on all podcast platforms. Primarily, we like to plug Audioboom. That is where we post first. They're kind of like our website. Post Audioboom. They get us first, then they send us out to all the other platforms. So be sure to go over there, check us out, subscribe to us there. You can also find us, though, on things like Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, things like iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, etc. All right, anywhere you find your podcast, we're there. Also, you can find us at Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That is where you'll find information on our most recent episodes. Maybe we'll ask a question here and there, ask you what movie we should watch. And also, we'll be retweeting a lot of great other podcasts. Be sure to check those out as well. You can also find us on Facebook.
You go to that Facebook action, you type in The Brothers Movie Factory in the old search box there, and you'll find us. Hey, click on it, like it, follow, share what you see if you desire, and I provide links to everything my brother mentioned here and there, links to Twitter, links to Audioboom, links to Spotify. Those are our primes. I include memes that I like to make and just keep you up to date with what we're doing each and every week.
Yes, and yes. All right, everyone, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Hope to hear from you next week here on the Bros Movie Factory. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Yo, Joe! Brothers!